This morning we're gonna jump into this. We're gonna try to do this pretty fast this morning. And if you got your Bibles, open up to Joshua 3, and we're gonna dive into this. And here's this interesting: is last week we've been doing this series called The Bridge. And just so you know, if you're new with us, we always kind of do a relationship series or a family series between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And our series right now is called The Bridge, and the reason we call it The Bridge is because, one, we live in a community with a bridge, and two is because we believe, and I would just share the scripture verse. Here it goes. It says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." And part of us is this. It says it's about relationships, building healthy relationships. Every bridge is designed to span a chasm between here and there. They are designed to connect people from one area to people of another. And when it comes to experiencing the kind of life God has in store for us, the truth is some bridges, check this out, need to be built and other bridges need to be burned. And a few weeks ago, I talked about some of the things in our own life that we just need to burn because it's hurting our relationships. And so as we read scripture this morning, if I can just stand up this morning, let's honor the Lord. So everybody just stand up and we're going to read this together. It will be on the screen. It says this. It says Joshua 3:6-8 says this. "Joshua said to the priests," they're holding the Ark of the Covenant. So I want you to picture this. The priests are in the front holding the Ark, which contains the tablets, the Ten Commandments. So it symbolizes the Lord's presence. So here's this cool thing. "Take the Ark of the Covenant and pass ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." This is God speaking. "Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, the Jordan River, go in and stand in the river." Let's skip ahead to verse 14 now. "So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing of dry ground." Lord, I pray for each person who comes here this morning. They might be your first Sunday, or maybe they've been here for 3 years. But I pray for each person in here to walk away even more in love with you than they came in. I pray in Jesus' name, open up our hearts and our eyes to receive from you this morning. And Lord, we just don't need good ideas. We need God ideas. We need your presence in this place. Lord, we need you today because Monday starts a week again. So we need you today to begin something fresh within us. Lord, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can grab a seat. This past week, I've been watching some YouTube videos. I was going to show some, but there's videos of people trying to cross rivers. There was this one of a semi trying to cross a river, and it doesn't make it and just gets washed away from a river. I saw big tractors being washed away in rivers, and it's pretty clear the power of a river. And here's what's interesting. When the Israelites were going, marching for 40 years through the deserts, they were, check this out, watch this for me. These people were slaves in Egypt. These Israelites were slaves in Egypt. And then Moses comes, he gives them a sermon, he leads them out, he goes through the Red Sea, he takes this nation that was once slaves out of slavery, he brings them out, and all of a sudden he says, "We're going to go to the promised land. We're going to go this direction." But here's the problem. Because the Israelites were no longer slaves, they couldn't get the slave mentality out of their hearts. You catching that? Even though they were no physically longer slaves, they still acted like slaves. They still worshiped their own gods, not the God of Jehovah. They still worshiped different gods. And so what happened is Moses wanted to lead these people into better land, into their promised land, but he couldn't do it because these people couldn't figure out what. So what they did was they literally marched around this mountain for 40 years. Can you imagine this? Just kept on marching around this mountain. They didn't get anywhere. And then God says, listen, Moses, you can't lead these people. They don't get it. So I'm going to raise up a youth pastor named Joshua, and Joshua is going to take a new generation into the promised land because they won't have that slave mentality anymore. And so what happens is Joshua dies, a generation dies, and then Moses dies, and a generation dies. Joshua rises up, is in charge of these new generation, and he begins to have these almost Moses encounters, the same one Moses had, a burning bush experience, and then they get to the Jordan River. This is flood stage. There's no way of going around it. It's literally the river is like 120 miles, long, and it's at flood stage. So there's no bridge, there's no way over it. So really, the only way is either stay where you're at, stay on your side of the river, and don't get to the promises, or go through it. Now listen, in our lives, sometimes we just have to go through it and in it. We just have to go in it. And so they didn't want to keep on marching around the mountain. They wanted to get in it and go through it. So the Jordan River actually equals a separation of God's promises and fullness. What the Jordan River symbolizes is the past and the future. What the Jordan River symbolizes is the way they lived in slavery and the fullness and the promises of God. You catching this? So they could have stayed on this side, but if they stayed over here, they would have been stuck in the slave mentality. They would have been stuck in a land that they did not have possession of. It would have never been their land. So if they went through it, they would have got to a God says these are the promises. Now listen, I believe a lot of us get stuck on this side and we never go to the other side because we don't know how to get to the other side. So it's crazy about this. That river separated 400 years of slavery and 40 years of wilderness experience. That river represented 400 years of slavery on this side. They said, we got to get over there. So all of a sudden, Joshua's praying, and he says, we got to get to the other side. Now, I just want to, you might be thinking, what does this mean to me? Listen, we all, including me, we all have Jordan rivers in our life, one time or another, that we need to cross all the time. As parents, as brothers and sisters, as neighbors, I'm telling you, we are all given the chance to jump into the promises of the Lord. And some people say, well, I'm not seeing the fullness of God. And the problem is, I'm always saying, what side of the river are you on? Because God is saying, if you want to over here, you got to go through it. I'll put it this way. The Israelites in slavery, the Egyptians worship a god named Baal. And they worship this. And when God freed them from slavery, even in the desert, when they didn't get what they want from God, from Jehovah, the first thing they did was, if they didn't get water or food or anything, the first thing they did was make idols and start worshiping the god of Baal because that's what they're used to. Listen, some people do this, and you're thinking, well, we don't do that. I'm like, yeah, we do, because I'm dealing with people all the time, even in unhealthy relationships. They don't know what it means to surrender. It's a lot easier for them to be in unhealthy relationships. It's a lot easier for them to make unhealthy decisions. It's a lot easier for them to be in a situation they shouldn't be in than to surrender it to the Lord. And so what's interesting is, and one of the things that they worshiped Baal was they always prayed for rain. They always prayed for water because they always lived in a desert area. So to them, Baal kind of represented this water situation, this rain situation, which is interesting because they all had to cross the water, which is the river. Because what God was trying to teach them is saying this, I'm done. Listen, you forgot to choose. At some point in your life, he's telling the Israelites, you got to choose. Either you're going to have one foot in Baal, one foot in me, the Lord, and you're going to make a decision, and this is not going to work anymore. This is no longer going to work. He says, if you want to cross over the river, I'm going to show you there's no longer just a God of rain or the river. There's a God of everything. I'm bigger than this. So if you want to cross this, just cross this. So they get to this point, and they have to make this decision. So here it is. How do we get across from here to there? Step number one, Let the presence of the Lord lead you. This is the most critical part of this. Because if you check what happened first, God told the priests, the Ark of the Covenant needs to go first. The presence of the Lord needs to move first. And he literally tells the priests, you go ahead and you go in the middle. And he's like carrying us. Can you, think about this. Imagine if this chair represented the Ark, which is not true. But I'm just saying, they go in the middle and they hold this thing up. And he says, and as they're in the middle holding this thing up, the water down the river is being held up. And they stood their ground in the middle, and with the presence of the Lord, they're saying, now, literally, it's stopping the river. So as they stepped in, the presence of the Lord, not the ark, it wasn't magical, is because, you know what I'm saying, well, who was inside of it? The presence of the Lord allowed them to get to the other side. Now check this out. It wasn't the priest. It wasn't even the case. It was the presence of the Lord. And if you don't believe me, even chapters later, wherever the Ark of the Covenant went, dude, victory happened. Battles were won. More land was had. You know what I'm saying? Like, victories happened. What's crazy about this is, I'm telling you, what does this mean for the church? Here it is. Partly our job as Christians is to follow the Lord's presence. And when he tells us to stop, we are going to help people get to the other side. Is this making sense? Here's my thing. You might be thinking, how does this work? Number one, loving people. Can I just tell you another way? Get involved in church. Can I tell you every Sunday morning in nursery and kids, there's like tons of kids. You know what we tell our workers all the time? A lot of these kids, not all of them, some of these kids have never been to church before. They never prayed. You know what I'm saying? No one's ever prayed for them. I don't know where they're from. It's a huge ministry. You know what you're doing? Every time you love a kid, you're helping hold back the river so them or their parents can cross to the other side. Every time you shake somebody's hand in a parking lot or greeters or, you know, every time you pull down a wall in operations, whatever you do, guess what you're doing? You are leading the way and helping people cross the other side. This coming week, we're going to do blueprints. And maybe you're saying, I want to get involved. Blueprints is the way to do it. Get involved. Get plugged in. Get to know the church. We want to get to know you. But I'm telling you, let the presence lead. Here's the truth. Here's the problem. Just because, now I'm going to talk to most of you Christians who've been in church for a while. Here it is. Listen to me. Just because you cross doesn't mean you help somebody else cross. You might be thinking, what does that mean? I'm telling you, you are called to disciple somebody else. That's what you're called to do. When Moses crossed the Red Sea, I'm telling you, I bet you the people that got to the other side first was the fast guys, the warriors, the fast women, or who it was. I don't know. Moses himself, I don't know who it was, the track athletes. I don't, you know what I'm saying? The people crossed with the buggies. I don't know what it was. But here's what happened. All of a sudden, you get to the other side, and you look back, and you're saying the water's still parted, and there's still people. There's still animals. There's still kids and moms. There's still grandmas and grandpas. There's still livestock. There's still food. There's still wagons got to cross. And just because you got the other side doesn't mean that we're on the other side. Does that make any sense? Part of us is just because you see where we need to go, just because you see and you know how to get there, just because we as Christians need to help other people get to the other side. Is this true? And I think that is one of the goals, not that I think, I know this is one of the things that we're called to do spiritually, is help people cross from the failures and disappointments, listen, and the slavery into the promises. Because I'm telling you, Satan's biggest lie is wants you to be a slave over here, and I'm telling you, what God wants you to do is the promises. And so I just believe a lot of us, and we got to help people get to the other side. Even Jesus said this. He says, let's go to the other side. Let's cross the other side. And I need people. Listen, here's my prayer. When I was praying for this message, I need dads and I need moms. I need volunteers. I need Watermark Church, people who call this place home. I need other churches in this community to sit there and say, when you pray, be diligent, be fervent, and say, not on my watch. not on my watch. Slavery's not going to happen on my watch. These things aren't going to happen on my watch. If I'm here, that means I'm called for business, I'm active duty, and I need to do something. You are enlisted in the Lord's army, not just to be someone who just hangs out by the beach or on the shore, but to lead people to the other side. Amen? The next point is this. It's very interesting because, one, the presence of the Lord leads, and we just follow it. Step two is this. We step into the promises. I think this is really awesome, and I'm going to be very careful how I say this, but it says in Joshua 1, verse 10 through 11, it says, "Then Joshua gave orders to the officers of the people." This is before they cross the other side. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan River and take the land the Lord your God is giving you. Check that out. Now, let me just throw this out there for 1 second. This is 2 chapters later before they even cross the Jordan River. And the plan, God told Joshua the exact plan. In 3 days, you're going to lead these people. The Ark of the Covenant is going to move forward. The officers are going to go ahead. And you're going to lead these people in a promised land because what? I've already given it to you. And I'm going to tell you this. Here is the truth. Even if this is your first Sunday, here is a promise for you. Every single person in this room, God has a purpose and a plan, and you were created with a purpose, and you were created on purpose, and you were not an accident. That means God has promises for you, your family, your friends. You know what I'm saying? God wants to speak to you. That means over across the river, he has promises for you. He has things for you that you have never seen before that he wants to do in you. Just a few weeks ago, I told, isn't it funny, these unclaimed freight shows all the time, like these shows that, you know what I'm saying, people buy these whatever they're called, storage units, and you open it up. And the reason they're there is because people either can't pay it or whatever, it's unclaimed. And I sometimes look in the spiritual realm, I think, look at all these unclaimed rooms that are not being used. I don't want to get to heaven someday. And I say, God, thank you for all you've done. And God says, I could have done more. There's all these unclaimed rooms I had for you. No, we don't want that. What's interesting about it is this. I'm going to tell you, what challenges me is this. He told us to Joshua, he said, if you guys step in the waters will start to begin to part. But even though there was a promise, if there was never a step, they would have never got there. Truth? You can have all the promises you want, but unless you take that step, unless you move into it, God can say all these things. God promised it, but we still need to cross it. That's where many of us spend our lives. Not all of us, but a lot of people spend our lives on the shore because we say, we want this and we want this, but I don't know if I want this. And we start picking and choosing. And God says, I have more for you if we just cross. And you're saying, but it kind of feels kind of safe over here in dry land. I don't want to get my feet wet. If I begin to get my feet wet, I don't know what's going to start to happen. I've never done this before. If I do this, I know you have promises, but your promises, are they for sure? If I do this, what am I going to lose? And you start going, I don't know. And so many people just staying ashore and saying, I'd rather be cautious than risk anything spiritually. I don't want to be known as a weirdo. Right? And we just all of a sudden we just say, I don't want to give this. And what's interesting is Moses and the Israelites before Joshua talked about the promised land, but because Joshua stepped out with the presence of the Lord, Joshua lived in the promised land. And I'm telling you, the church needs to move, not just our church, the church as a whole needs to move from just talking about the promises to living in the promises. The church as a whole needs to move from just talking about it, but living it out. And this is where that dynamic happens. And step number three is this. You need to step out. I know this sounds really cliche and really easy, but until we step out, here's the irony. Can I just tell you this? This is the greatest irony. I feel like I just have meetings with people all the time. Here's what comes up. You know, I just don't feel like nothing's happening spiritually. I just wait on the Lord. Just been here waiting. I just keep on visualizing people on the shore going, do something. Do something. Part. Do something. Do something. Now listen, I really believe sometimes in your life you need to just wait. Wait with the T, W-A-I-T. I believe there's a time in your life, a lot. Listen, almost every week you need to wait on the Lord and just let him fill you up. You need to spend time with the Lord. You need to spend time in his presence. This is why prayer and worship is so important. Just spend time with the Lord. So I think we are a couple of camps. I think we need to wait, but I also think we need to wade, which means this. Is it W-A-D-E? Is that what it is? So, is that what it is? Or waiting, wet. When he puts your waders on and you go into the lake and you get a little wet. Is that what it is? Sometimes we just need to wait. And I'm telling you, sometimes you need to wade in the water and just see what happens. Moses, listen, one generation went through when they saw the Red Sea part. That's pretty crazy, right? And even when they saw that miracle, for the next 40 years, they're saying, is this really God? I'm like, you just walked through a sea. And you forgot that? Dude, you have slave mentality. And then all of a sudden you have Joshua here. And this is, listen, I believe the difference was God was doing all the work over here. And God says, I'm not going to do all the work. You got to step out yourself. You want to meet me halfway, you get wet. And all of a sudden, just as parents, we want to do the same thing. Like, I'm not going to clean up your room for you. Help me with this. So all of a sudden he told Joshua, he says, if you want to see some action, I'll do what I did for Moses, but you do what Moses never did. And he says, you don't just wait. And they did. Listen, chapter 1, chapter 2 was waiting. Waiting with a T. Chapter 3 was waiting in the water. And here's what happened. The priest went first, and they stepped in. And as soon as now listen, this is flood stage. Anyone ever been to a floody river? Like, it's coming just, like, it's just roaring. Like, there's imagine this, logs coming down the river, like, your trucks coming down the river. Like, you're just looking at this thing, and you're going, I'm not talking about a little creek here. I'm talking about flood stage river coming down, monsoon water. And here's what happens. When that kind of stuff happens, you have literally got to know where you step. I'm going to read a scripture verse. This is Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Joshua was telling himself, saying, I don't know if I can lead these people. I don't have what Moses had. And this is the promise that God gave Joshua. He says, I will give you every place that you set your what? Foot. That's the promise. It's not just the promised land. Now listen, I believe here's what happens. What I love about Joshua is, just because he wasn't in the promised land doesn't mean he forgot about the promiser. Don't ever forget about the one who supplies the promises. Amen? He walked with God. So here's what's interesting. I'm just going to close with this. God told Joshua, wherever you set your foot, that's what I will give you, not just a promised land, because if you set it, if you go out confidently, now listen, not like a person who's tiptoeing around, but if you step confidently, I will give it to you. Because you walk with me, because my presence leads. And when the priest went out, he stepped into it. And as he stepped into this raging waters, and the ark went first, it started just backing up and backing up and backing up and backing up. Brianna, you can come down. What's interesting about this is this. I believe spiritually, here's what we do. And I think this is good sometimes. Anybody else like to go to pools and go swimming? I mean, like, besides me, like, when I go to the ocean, I'm like a 5-year-old boy. I literally get like, you can ask my wife, I'm like a bob in the water. I just go in the ocean and I'm just like by myself, just on a boogie board, just like bouncing all the time. And I love it. Here's what happens though. When we go down to El Salvador for mission trips and stuff, I'm always, before I get in the water, I'm always testing it. Have you ever, anyone else ever do that? You're like, you go to a pool, you go to a hotel, and you put your foot, and you're like, oh, that's cold, you know, right? You just test it out a little bit, you're like, oh. What's interesting, and then you have those friends whether it's 40 degrees water or 100 degrees water, they're just going to do a cannonball right in, right? Like, their testing of water is like, we're going to go all in. Like, there's no waiting. And some of you, it takes like an hour and a half to get wet. You just like, you get in, you're like, oh, it's cold, right? Like, oh, I can't do it. Then it gets on your stomach and you're just shivering, right? And you're just like, this is so cold. It's interesting because imagine cold water and it's coming like a monsoon. Water is just flowing down, just flowing. And God says, hey, priest, you're going to leave. I can't imagine a bunch of priests going, I'm out. I wasn't asking for this. I'm out. Presence of the Lord or not, we can go find somebody else. But no, they stepped into it. So they stepped, and I'm telling you, there was two options at this point, two. And they knew it because one option was they're just going to be washed away. I mean, think about that. The one option is we're going to die. We are literally going to die. So the mentality is this, if we're going to leave this shore, we're going to cross the other side, I'm going to die. And the other one was this, is saying, the other option is this, saying, either we'll die or, here's the other option, we will be over our heads. But either way, if you stay where you're at, there's no life anyway. He says, if we cross the other side, at least at this point, we're going to grow. And so I think it's interesting about it is this, is I think we need to take a step in order to cross into the promises of the Lord. I think it's interesting, too, as we think about this, going back to the waiting part. So many times we say, I'm just waiting on the Lord. But sometimes, listen, God is just waiting for us. Ruthie, can I share that again today? I ask, is it okay if I share? Of course. Just say yes, that's good. Francis is here. How long have you guys been coming for? Like 9 months. It's interesting to me because they've been coming for 9 months and they've done a lot of stuff and they want to get more involved and been through blueprints and everything. And one day I asked them, I said, how did you come to church? How did you find out about Watermark? And they said, you're at a tea store, right? In Woodbury? Is that what it was? Yeah. And Ruthie was working there. Somehow got a conversation about coming to Watermark Church, churches in the area, and they came. I'm telling you, those moments are getting your feet wet. Those moments are stepping out and getting your feet wet. So here's some other things. Maybe for you, getting your feet wet is this. Maybe your first step is to offer another person forgiveness. That's hard. Maybe your next step, your one step is to let go of anger and resentment. Maybe it's going to Blueprints this week. Maybe being part of the team. Maybe it's life that you always wanted, but you're scared to leave your present life. Maybe your first step is simply to be quiet, to be still, and to wait with a T. Maybe you're just so busy, and God is saying, shut it. Pull back. I'm not always in the busyness. I'm in the slow. Listen, Elijah found this out. I'm in the whisper. We need to pull back. Maybe some of you, your stepping out moment is having the right to always be in control. You're just like, it's my way or the highway. I'm telling you, if you do that with people, you probably do that with the Lord. Maybe it means you gotta let fear no longer dominate your life and not be so much worried about stress and worry and let that dominate, but take small steps. Maybe your first step for you is to risk intimacy and be vulnerable with the Lord. Maybe in people, maybe your next step is this. I'm telling you, here it is. Maybe your next step is knowing that the Lord doesn't always care about your opinions. He cares about your obedience. We live in society where we're like, oh, my voice and my opinions matter. It's all over Facebook. I got my opinions. Dude, you know what God cares about? If he says the promises are over here, that we just step in the water and we just go. Not standing ashore saying, well, God, what about this? You're going to take care of that? What about this? What about this? What about this? This is my opinion. What about this? God says, dude, I just ask you to step. Let's just go. Just go. Let me just stand up this morning. I find it really interesting because here's what I want to, if you don't realize anything today, here's what I want you to realize. The slave mentality is back here. And it separates you. And the slave mentality is filled with fear, worry, doubt, bitterness, unforgiveness. It's lonely over here. You don't really trust the Lord. You really don't trust anybody. And all of a sudden, you get to the point of the shore. And because you're so used to living over here and being busy and being caught up with work and everything else, because this is what you're used to, when you get to that point of crossing the river and you just start like sampling a little bit, you're like, I don't think I can do it. So when every single morning when I come up here and say, it's time to take a next step, it's time to take a next step, take a next step. The Lord's already been telling you about your next step, but you're like, not yet. And then you wonder, why aren't things changing? And I'm telling you, here's my promise. The promises of the Lord are over here. And if you trust in Him and you follow His presence and you allow people like these people in the room here to help you cross over to the other side, you will get it because you can't do it alone. I'm telling you, the people that allow people in the Lord in their life are the people that make it to the other side better because we need to do it together. Amen? We need people. Everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. I got two questions. The number one question is this. If you're here this morning, and maybe this morning you've never surrendered your heart to the Lord, maybe this morning you're saying, I've never committed my heart to the Lord. I never even crossed over to the other side to see Jesus. And this morning, I need to make a commitment to the Lord. I need Jesus as my personal Savior. I need to make a commitment. I need to surrender my heart to the Lord. No one's looking around. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand this morning. I see it. It's awesome. No one's looking around. If you're just saying, I need to surrender my life to the Lord, it's awesome. It's awesome. Awesome. Everybody repeat after me, dear Jesus, Lord, be the Savior of my life. Forgive me my sins. Wash me clean. Help me to step into the promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your eyes closed. One, if you said that prayer, I want to talk with you, and heaven celebrates with you as celebrate this morning. Next thing is this. If no one's looking around, if you're here this morning and you are on the shore and whatever, I don't know your shore. I don't know where you're standing, and you know you need to get to the other side. You know you've been living as fear and worry and anxiety and all these things, and you know you need, and you say, I need help, but I need to get to the other side. I need to take a step this morning. No one's looking around. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand in this place. A lot of us. There's a lot of us. There's a lot. It's awesome. You put your hands down. You can look up here. We always end with a time of worship and prayer. One is I would love to pray with you. Our team would love to pray with you. We have communion back. There's a cross up front. Some people put their stuff on, just sins, and surrender some stuff. But maybe this morning you need to find a spot in your seat or down here. But listen, don't cross it alone. And don't blow me off. Listen, we need each other. And we all need to get to the other side. And if I need to, I'll throw you over there. But we all need to get there. So this morning, as we start to begin worship this morning, ask the Lord to show you, what do I need to do? Lord, what do I need to surrender? And that might be your next step. What do I need to lay down? What do I need to do? Lord, to be fully committed to the things of you, to be fully committed. So let's begin to worship this morning.